All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Yesterday was a national holiday known as NFL Schedule Release Day. Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com joins us. Alan, I was talking a few minutes ago about how I live in the now. I'm on baseball and the Pirates and NBA playoffs about to start. Some people just love looking ahead. How popular? You run a website that covers the Steelers. How popular is the Schedule Release Day?
I don't know. I mean, it's not as popular as the draft. It's not as popular as free agency, but it's probably the next big thing of the off season. People want to know, especially I think this year, just because after a year where most people weren't able to attend games, I really think people want to start making plans. Okay, when am I going to be able to get to go to the stadium? Where are the road games? Do I want to make a road trip somewhere? I've never been to Green Bay before. That seems like that could be fun in October. I think people are really, really looking forward to getting back to that part of being a fan, being able to plan their fall weekends around when they're going to be able to go to football games. And so I think that's why, maybe more than most years, yesterday was a big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense, that people want kind of that return to normalcy. Steelers will open up on the road once again for the seventh consecutive season. They'll play in Buffalo on September 12th. How do the Steelers feel? You guys have a story up at SteelersNow.com about this. How do they feel about always being on the road to start the season?
Well, I think they're kind of maybe more understanding than you'd think, because they don't have a ton of say in the process. You know, once the Pirates schedule comes out, you know, it just depends on when the Pirates are at home. The Steelers aren't going to play a home game at the same time the Pirates have a home game. They share not only the parking lots on the north side, but they share, you know, the services of the Pittsburgh police and EMS and things like that to have their crowds, and they don't want to do it at the same time. So once the Pirates have their schedule, it's pretty clear when the Steelers, you know, the Steelers could have played a Sunday night home game or they could have played a Monday night home game on that first week this year, with the Pirates having a 1:05 first pitch on the Sunday, the first weekend of the series. That was pretty much it. So I think they understand that they're not always going to get, you know, there's only those two games that they could have played on opening weekend. But so this is, I think they're pretty understanding. It is weird, though, that it's been 7 years. I mean, that's a long time, even though the Pirates have, you know, an impact there, maybe more so than a typical NFL team. That's still a long time, and so wouldn't surprise me if that ends next year. It's rare for Art Rooney to speak about something publicly and say, hey, this is something we think it's been a while. Let's, you know, they owe us one now. So the fact that he said that makes me think 7 years is enough. if they're speaking out publicly, then they'll probably get it next year.
It's interesting. Completely different set of criteria and schedule, but Penn State fans have always been upset because they tend to start the Big Ten schedule on the road pretty much every year. It's been that way for about two decades, almost every year. So I'm curious that from this standpoint with the Steelers. This is just a theory I'll throw out there. You can tell me if there's something to this or not. The Steelers are one of the biggest brands in the NFL. The NFL knows that wherever they put the Steelers in a given slot, that they know they're going to be a major draw. And so they can, hey, if you can put the Steelers in Buffalo in week one, That's a pretty damn sexy game, as opposed to, you know, if some other kind of team has to come to Pittsburgh. Does that come into play, that the Steelers, that the NFL knows what they have in the Steelers and they can use the Steelers to the best of the brand ability?
Well, I think I'm not so much sure that they know what they have in the Steelers, but I think the Steelers' demand for ticket sales is pretty inelastic, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what the Steelers are doing. Their whole season is going to be sold out here. The tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Their whole season is going to be sold out by noon. Now, you think about another team, maybe a team that struggles a lot, doesn't have the same kind of fan base. Those teams really want their home games earlier in the season, because if they start 1-5, they know they're not going to be able to sell tickets anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that probably plays into it, where other teams, it matters more to them to get those home games earlier in the year than it does to the Steelers, who will have every ticket for the season sold long before training camp even starts. Other teams, that the ticket sales is an issue. And, of course, in a league with full revenue sharing, it helps everyone if the league can help the Jacksonvilles of the world and the Jets of the world sell tickets. It helps everybody. It's not like it just helps those teams.
Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com joining us. Steelers will host the Las Vegas Raiders. Do you still say Oakland Raiders sometimes?
No, I'm better at that one. The Chargers are the ones that get me all
Where the hell
time.
Are they? Where are they, the L.A. Chargers still? Am I behind?
They're the L.A. Chargers now, and they are now playing in L.A. because they spent their first, was it 2 or 3 years, playing in Carson, California.
Bite your tongue. They are the San Diego Chargers.
Or Los Angeles.
They are the San Diego Chargers, and they will always be the San Diego Chargers.
That one gets me the most. I've been really good about saying Las Vegas for the Raiders, and I've been really good about calling Washington just the Washington football team, but San Diego still gets me.
You might be a little young for this, but I'm the same way with the Angels, whatever the hell they call themselves, the LA Angels.
Well, they have so many names, I think it's not acceptable to call them whatever you want.
They are the California Angels. To me, they will always be the California Angels. That's just what I grew up with, so that's what I'm going to call them. And then a trip to Green Bay in Week 4. That is a tremendous-looking matchup. The Seahawks come to Pittsburgh in Week 6. As you break down the schedule, Alan, what are the things that jump out at you?
Five primetime games. I think that's a sign that at least the league's broadcast partners think the Steelers are going to be a pretty strong team again this year. I think, obviously they draw well no matter what, but, they have a tough schedule. We knew it was going to be a tough schedule. I don't think it's any more or less tough than we thought it was going to be. But it is the end of that schedule, the very end, you look at those last 4 games, it's Tennessee at Kansas City, Cleveland at Baltimore. That is I haven't gone through and looked at all 32 schedules, but I have a hard time thinking anybody in the league has a tougher last 4 weeks than the Steelers do. So, I think the thing that really stands out to me with the way the schedule falls is, they've got some of those big those games you just mentioned, right? Buffalo Week 1, Green Bay Week 4, Seattle, and I don't have it in front of me. They're about Week 6 somewhere in there. Those are the ones at the beginning of the season where you can really start to circle. To me, like, those are going to be tough games. It's very crucial for this team that they don't give away those games that nobody's circling, because the end of the year is not going to be easy. They can't go through the beginning of their schedule only paying attention to those ones that everybody's circling right now. They've got games that they can certainly lose to teams like the Raiders, like the Chargers, like the Vikings, the Bengals, in the first half of the season that they're going to need come the end, because that closing stretch is pretty tough.
Well, that has been the traditional MO, maybe not as much in the last couple of years. I mean, 2 years ago, Ben's hurt. You can't really count that, but there have been a lot of times over the last 7 or 8 years, and not that this doesn't happen to every NFL team, but the Steelers have lost a lot of games over the years, man, to teams, and just make you shake your head like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, and I think this is going to be a really important step for this team this year if they can nip that in the bud, because they've got enough hard games to go around. They're not gonna sweep Green Bay, Buffalo, Seattle 2 times against the Browns and the Ravens, Tennessee. It's a very difficult schedule, and Kansas City on the road. And so they really, more than most years, I think it's going to be really crucial for them to take care of business in the games they're supposed to win, because there's fewer of them than usual. This is not a schedule that this team is going to be expected to sleepwalk through. I think 6.5-point underdog already to Buffalo in Week 1 I saw. That's going to happen a lot this year. There's a lot of really good teams on the schedule. They definitely need to find a way to not let that happen this year, I think, especially in the early part of the season. If they want to keep the AFC North division crown in Pittsburgh, they've got to get out to a hot start.
One more thing. The way the mind works sometimes is you think of something and then your mind goes down the rabbit hole or what have you. And I'd said, you know, the Steelers have suffered some losses over the years that really make you shake your head. Really, one that absolutely comes to the forefront is the Tebow playoff loss to Denver. That was 9 years ago, man. It was 9 years ago. And now Tebow's going to get a shot in the NFL. You have any thoughts on Tim Tebow? And he tried baseball for a few years. He's a pretty good broadcaster. If he would have just accepted his football fate 5, 6, 7 years ago and maybe switched to tight end, what do you make of Tebow's football career?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's 33.
Yeah,
so,
right.
This thing about him playing tight end now, like, I don't want any 33-year-old, let alone one that's never played tight end before. Hey, yeah, who's the best 33-year-old tight end in the league? Gronk? Okay, I'll take him.
Hasn't he retired?
Gronk's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Gronk's retired like 3 times.
I don't want any other 33-year-old tight end. That's it. One. So, like, I mean, the idea that he's going to be some kind of difference maker is absurd. And I, you know, if he had played tight end coming out of Florida, I think he probably would have gotten a longer shot in the NFL than he did. My Tim Tebow hot take has always been that he should have played rugby.
Yeah.
He could have been the face of U.S. rugby on the world stage. He'd have probably been pretty good. And he'd have been the instantly, you know, I don't know, if you name a niche sport, you know, how many gymnasts can the average American name beyond Simone Biles? You know, how many American women tennis players can the average person named beyond Serena Williams? I don't know. Tim Tebow would have been the one rugby player everybody in America would have known. And I like rugby. You know, I'm family from Wales, and it's obviously a much bigger deal there than it is here. But I think that'd have been fun. He's a good athlete. He just, you know, didn't work out for him at the professional level the way he wanted to. I don't think. I don't know. I don't know if he'd have played tight end from the beginning if it would have made that much of a difference. I don't know if he would have played baseball from 18 it would have made that much of a difference. But I don't feel too bad for him the way things worked out either. Like you said, he's a talented broadcaster. He's been getting paid to be a professional athlete for a long time. If it doesn't work out as a tight end, sure, those checks from ESPN are still going to cash. And maybe he'll pick another sport. Who knows? Maybe he's not done.
I know my women's tennis players. I know a lot of those. But for gymnastics, does Mary Lou Retton count? Can I pull out Mary Lou Retton if we're talking, you got to name an American gymnast? How about Mitch Gaylord? Mitch Gaylord was a gymnast like 35 years ago, I think.
There you go. Carrie Strug. I don't think she's still around.
Nice.
Either.
Very good. Yeah. Alan Saunders, SteelersNow.com. Check out the website. They've got tremendous coverage on all the breaking news for the Steelers. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. Good stuff there.